This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Hold your carriage horses and tighten those corsets. Bridgerton is back. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom. But has Penelope truly pushed aside her feelings for Colin? Will Colin realize his feelings before another suitor takes Penelope's hand? This gentle reader can't wait to find out. Watch part one of Bridgerton only on Netflix May 16th.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? What's the haps?
Things are good. I would say it's a nice little like lull of like chillness in my summer, which I'm into.
The calm before the storm, the wedding storm, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the wedding thing is like weird because you're like, should I be doing more? Should I be doing less? Should I care more about this thing? Should I care less about that thing? It's like a very much like a like it's very much about waves of motivation in terms of
sure. And you also I would assume, and I don't mean to make assumptions, but like if I was getting married hypothetically, I'd be in this whole like workout mode. Like this is my mindset because I am just like thinking about how I'm going to look in pictures and my body and how I want to fit in a suit. And you don't have these concerns on a normal, from what I know, how I know you,
I mean,
these aren't like top of mind for you. So like, there's no like to me, like some people I would assume a wedding co aligns with like getting ready for a big fight.
You know, I mean, like there is elements of that too. I definitely would like, I have a certain look that I'm going for me. And I talked about some beauty stuff on our subscription episode. Yes. I'm definitely like doing some things to look my best. That's all stuff I'm not as worried about because I know I can control it.
Yeah.
The more annoying shit is like my venue won't answer me or like, what if it rains? Like all this other stuff that's beyond my control that like is irritating me that I can't really like do much about. But the, for the most part, like the like I have a work, we all have our workout routines that we know are going to work if we just
do them,
do it. And like a wedding is like, to me, at least for me, a wedding is motivating enough that I know I'm gonna just like do that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
just
all about
like
the self control, but if you can control it, then you can
totally. I was just thinking of like the schedule of like you're in this weird thing of like it's coming. But it doesn't like a ramp up to a wedding for me. Like I'm getting in shape for your wedding at this point.
You're going to look great, Jared.
Like, okay. Oh, thank God. I hope that's the first thing that's said between us when I see you at the wedding.
And Jared looks so good at the wedding. That's what I want all my guests to say.
I hope to God.
The wedding
thank
was
you.
Beautiful. The guests looked great.
Jared, the second to last person on the list, looked good.
That's not true. Jared, you were so much further up there than you even realized.
10th to last. So I, listen, but we have some exciting stuff going on here at the U Up Podcast Industries. If you guys are listening right now, we got some new merch. Ring that bell, Jordana.
All right. We've got IRL Summer, the merch we've been talking about since last summer. No, for like for a long time. It's out. The IRL Summer hat, the IRL Summer tote bag, the Not Your Leftovers mug. You got to get it all.
The IRL Summer flamethrower. that's a Spaceballs joke.
We should have done IRL Summer condoms because what's more IRL?
Nothing. What's get involved. I mean, would love that. How set, you know, then you hear back like, the IRL Summer condom, it broke. Work. What do we do? Do you have any IRL Summer plan B?
What do you do if the IRL Summer condom breaks? You name your child Jared or Jordana.
Yeah, please don't. I don't want that type of bad juju on me. I don't need that. But listen, we got new merch, IRL Summer hat and tote bag, Not Your Leftovers mug. Can't wait to be sipping on that mug in my apartment this summer. And all of you, get involved. Where do they go? Shop.betches.com?
Yeah, go to ShopBetches, check it out. And then also, if you haven't subscribed yet, you up with benefits, bonus episodes out twice a month, episodes ad-free a day before. Otherwise, if you don't want to do it, again, same thing you've always gotten. Wednesdays and Sundays, we're still here normally.
But let me tell people, the feedback from You Up With Benefits has been, like, unbelievable. Like, I haven't... I have 7,000 podcasts a week. This one has been... The messages have been really unbelievable. So you can get it on the Apple Podcast app. You can just hit that subscribe button. But on Spotify, all you have to do is search You Up With Benefits, and it'll be right there waiting for you to subscribe. $3 a month. Again, as Jordana said, 2 extra podcasts a month, early episodes, no ads. So go, get involved with that. And I in addition to all these announcements, I'm doing an IRL summer tour, so I got shows.
Ooh.
That's right. Late addition to the calendar, Orlando. I'm coming to Orlando. We've been to Orlando.
Have we been to Orlando?
We have been to Orlando. Joey Fatone.
Yeah,
I'm going to call up my buddy Joey, see if he'll come to one of the shows.
Are you going to Disney World?
I'm going. I'm going to put on the ears. I'm going to wear, you know, the Minnie Mouse dress, the whole deal. So everyone, Orlando, Florida, Richmond, Virginia, Mohegan Sun, Magoobies in Baltimore, Magoobies. Maryland. That's right. Chicago, I added another show. It's already sold out. D.C., New York, Austin, Boston, Dallas, New Brunswick, New Jersey. So, yeah, I'm on the road again, baby. So it's all happening.
Wow. You were like the king of Chicago.
It is pretty wild. I mean, we had a huge audience in Chicago.
That was sold out, that show. We gotta go back to Chicago.
We should definitely go back and do a U-Up show. I'm doing this thing in Chicago where I'm doing a theme night.
Oh, right.
So I'm Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all different categories of jokes. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday are going to be like best ofs. It's really...
And they're like all sold out, right?
They're all sold out, so I'm kind of stressed about it. I really got to start... I got to get out the pen. I'm going to start writing. So hopefully those are fun. I'm sure they're going to be fun. Everyone's great in Chicago.
I'm sure it'll be a great show.
We're calling them charcuterie chats.
Do you ever take a break? Do you ever go on vacation?
Your wedding. So it better be good.
Wow.
this weather better be good.
Now I got to get more flowers.
Yeah, that's right. Get ready for me to be complaining. This is my vacation, you know, so at your wedding. I take a break. You know, I like doing shows. Like, to me, like, and I don't know, maybe because of the breakup, I've dove in head first into my work. And it's that's kind of part of it too. So, you know,
but you're doing well. It seems happy to be
things
back.
Things are
out
okay.
There.
I'm happy to be doing stand up. Like, I like doing stand up. So, and when people and what I love, let me just say to the people of this audience, they come to the show and there's so everyone is fun. Like you reminded me to say something. The compliments I get on the people that come to my shows are like crazy. I like our audience. I like the people that enjoy what we do, but like,
we like you.
Yeah. You guys are cool to us, but like every comedy club, the openers, the management, the wait staff, they're like, they are so impressed by the people who come. So thank you to people who have come to my shows or are coming in the future. Like, the people you bring, the idea that, like, I'm not sitting there talking about dating or The Bachelor for an hour. I do, like, other things. People are down. They want to hear, you know, fun stuff. And so
it's
really cool.
I've seen your stand-up. It's really, really, really funny.
Thank you. I try my best to put on to sing, dance, and dust, so to speak.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliyai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What are we talking about today, Jordana?
Today, we are talking about ego checks and dating. Should I read the first email?
Let's do it. Ego checks and dating is quite a it's quite a title.
Right. You ain't shit. Yeah. Okay, let me say. Dear.
That's our show, people. You ain't shit. It. Done.
Dear J&J, I am a 24-year-old woman, and I've been seeing a guy from Hinge for a couple of months who recently went on a trip for a week and a half to stay with some friends over the 4th. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole, but I guess I never really considered him pursuing anyone else because he made it very clear that I'm out of his league, and I'd like to think my bullshit radar is pretty accurate. I wonder how someone makes it very clear. That
Just so you know, the radar is on, right. And not making it clear. Ding, 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 ding. I smell bullshit. It's on. Like, did you get real animated with it?
Very weird. I was hanging out with a friend last night, and she asked to see what he looked like when he came up in conversation. Naturally, I pulled up his Hinge profile, and she immediately went, "Oh no," and pointed out that he had changed his location to the town that he's staying. He's still da, on da, his da. Trip. Oh no.
Oh no. Can you imagine you're in the next apartment? You're like, oh, someone, you know, must have had something really horrible happen. No, they just right. found out that his location was different on Hinge.
When I first read "Oh no," I thought it was gonna be like, and she discovered that he's wanted for like you know, killing 3 people.
Yeah. It's just
oh, no.
his Hinge profile is just pictures of all his like STD, you know, like or STI, like whatever, like
he's uploaded his pictures of gonorrhea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no.
Oh no. She's one of my best friends, but I couldn't help but feel embarrassed and went completely red in the face. I would feel embarrassed too, especially if I told the friend like that it was very clear that I was out of his league.
Yeah. It's a huge turn.
Want to see this guy who's yeah. I'm totally out of his league that yeah, I'm considering?
I'm hooking up with this loser.
Oh no. Needless to say, my ego is definitely bruised, but I'm also feeling like quite the hypocrite because I've been pursuing other guys on Hinge as bleak as it's looking right now, and I'm always keeping an eye out for prospects when I go out with friends. I recognize that I'm in no position to call him out because we've never had the talk about exclusivity, and I'm not even sure that I'd want that with him. I guess my question for you is how to not get offended by behavior that I'm also exhibiting in my dating life, and how not to take things so personally. I would appreciate any advice on how to move forward, and I'm open to and expecting you putting me in my place. Sincerely, a humbled and humiliated hypocrite.
Listen, I there's no reason she's humbled herself. You know, like yeah. I actually like her because
there's no place
she
put in.
Yeah, there, yeah. Yeah. We're here for you. I like that she writing this email is humility in itself. You know,
we don't need to kick you while you're down.
Yeah, like I see. This is like this.
I
is kind
don't
of,
think I don't think this is humiliating.
No, I think the reason this email got humiliating is because the friend's over her shoulder. If it happened a different way, she could have quietly dealt with this. But now, like, she feels as though, and I would feel this way, even though it's probably not true, that friend goes to the group chat that she's not on and is like, "Did you hear about Rachel?" And they're like, "What?" Even though she knows they didn't hear about it. And Rachel's not her name. I'm just saying, you know, "Did you hear about Rachel?" Yeah. She says she's above this guy. She says she's out of this guy's league and he's on a dating app in another city with it changed to the next city. And it's like, that's not how people talk about people, but that's how it feels.
Right. That's not even that embarrassing though, too. Like, no, I could be seeing someone that I think is out of my league, and that almost might be the reason that I'm looking to date other people. Sure. So I'm like, well, less, like, putting all my eggs in this out of my league basket.
Well, that's the thing. We have to stay. Let's get one thing straight. Nobody is J-Lo. And, you know, like
except for J-Lo.
Except for J-Lo. And look at J-Lo. A-Rod is sleeping around, supposedly. That's in the news. So, like, I use J-Lo as an example because I think she's just an interesting case study that, you know, as far as, like, how I observe women and the female sex, it seems like people put J-Lo on this pedestal because she looks amazing at 50. And it's like, even though she's a singer, songwriter, actress who has been successful in, like, every industry she's ever gone into, nobody talks about that. They all talk about, like, wow, look at her skin and her abs at 50. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then even J-Lo had relationship issues. So, you know what I mean? So it's like the idea that, like, this is kind of a roundabout way of being like, the idea that, like, someone couldn't be looking over their shoulder at someone else because you're out of their league is actually insanity.
Right.
Like,
it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like, it might be true that you're out of their league, but that does not mean you will not be ghosted or cheated on or turned down or dumped. It just, and women do this a lot because, and I don't mean to, like, genderify or sound like women do this a lot, but, like, every, you know, a lot of going out stories from women start, and I've had this in my life where, like, the person I'm dating will be like, at first I wasn't into you. And then you kind of, like, convince me, and it turns into this romance novel. And I think that's why we get bogged down into this type of thing.
Right. And it becomes like, whether or not someone is, I think it's a very dangerous thing to place too much of your ego in whether or not someone is, like, choosing you or obsessed with you. And it's like, obviously it's a little bit unavoidable to an extent. Like, we all have egos.
Human.
We
are, right. Yeah.
We all, you know, if we don't get a job that we're applying for, if we're rejected from something, you know, we're trying to get into, like, that's always like an ego thing, but that doesn't, if you take it personally.
But this is kind of the problem with dating apps, and, like, to get more higher level with this. This person wrote an email that makes me think they don't need a dating app. Like, they're writing, like, oh, I'm on Hinge, like, one of their main lines that I wrote down, as bleak as it's looking. You know, like, you're on the dating app looking at these people going, this is fucking bleak. It's time for this person to get off. They don't need options. This is the problem with options. This is the problem with convincing yourself into the options that seem to be speaking to you. Like, it feels like you're settling even though you're not. Like, this person, you want to be excited about the relationship you're entering into. You want to be pursuing. You want to be walking up the mountain, not down the mountain. And I think this person writing in is like a lot of other people out there that they're like, yeah, I'm out of his league, but he's talking to me and he's nice and he's not sending me a dick pic. So let me give him a chance and see what's up. And then down the road, they see, you know, Johnny Loserton is off in Nashville with his, you know, with a new location setting. And they're like, what the fuck? And it's like, yeah, you went to Loserton Island and you lost. Like, I just think that, like, if you concentrated on the people you were excited about, I'm not saying this won't happen, but there's different things to be learned about yourself. I don't think this person learns about themselves from this situation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the thing that you're learning is that, like, you should be looking for people that, like, you like exactly what you said. Like, I should be looking for people that I'm excited about so that I could actually have, like, some sort, so that I might have had that talk with them, so that I actually would have had some reason to actually be upset instead of it just being an ego thing. And the thing
you're
about,
stuck.
Right. And her question, which is like, you know, how do I not get offended? I think she knows logically that she can't really be offended, but it's okay. You can't be offended. What you are is, like, a little hurt. Your ego is a little hurt, which is, like, fine. That's what I'm saying. That's also something we have to accept in dating. Like, you can't be in the game and just avoid all like uncomfortable situations or slight rejections or large rejections. Like, and that almost makes it better because you know what doesn't feel good and what does feel good.
Yeah. And you know what, you know what this kind of reminded me of in my own life? This reminded me of working out every day while still gaining weight. Like, I was like, cause it's like, I'm working out. I am doing something that I'm like generally not like wanting to do. And it's like, I'm still feeling shitty. And it's like, why is
that? Like, I didn't even like him.
I didn't even like
him. And now I feel shitty, even though I didn't even like him. Right.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, why is this going on? Well, Jared, you drink 7 vodka sodas a night and then come home and have a bunch of pizza and then you work out. So the fixes are easy, but they're hard at the same time. So like for this woman, like, yeah, you're going on the dates with this guy that you're not even really enjoying, but you're getting out of it a good 10 minutes of feeling good afterwards, but you're still, you know, not dating someone you really wanted to date or trying to, like, you're not fully trying. You're half trying. And it's like, I have that in my life with working out a lot.
Which can feel ickier, almost.
Totally ickier. You know, like, I mean, I've been on dates where I'm like, what am I doing on this date?
Yeah. Right. I don't really want to be here.
I don't want to be here, but I'm happy to be here. It'll be fun in the moment. But afterwards, I'll go, where is this even going? I don't even really, you know, I would fuck, but I wouldn't get in a relationship. So why am I even here? You know, you have that going through your mind. And I'm sure there's an element of that for them, too.
Right. I think the best way to just proceed is to just say, okay, this felt a little shitty. Maybe I'll reevaluate the kinds of dates I'm going on. Maybe I'll reevaluate, like, going out with people just because it seems like they like me and like, it's a good chance for reflection.
I think this person needs to end it with this person, not angrily. You have to say, hey,
I'm not into you, is what she should say.
Spin that as a positive. Hey, I'm realizing I'm not really into this and I wish you the best. Like, I don't think it's time to like teach this guy anything or be like, hey, I saw you in Nashville. Like, I don't think that's going to get you anywhere because you're in the same pool. You're swimming in the same pool, as you said. Right. I would also say to this person, they need to get off the apps. I think their association, they're letting the apps convince them. And I talked about this, I think, on the bonus episode, where it's like, sometimes you're on this app and you have the devil and the angel on each shoulder. And someone matches with you and the devil's like, go out with them. They match with you. And the angel's like, they're not really your type. Yeah, they're cute. You match, but you don't really want to go out. And then the person messages you and you go, and the devil's like, look it, they want to talk to you. That feels good, doesn't it? And the angel's like, you already said you weren't really into this person, wasn't your type. You should just unmatch. And then again, the person messages you again. Hey, you going to talk to me? And the devil's like, just fucking do it. You know, like, and like, so it's like, but I think for this person, they're, while they're on the app, like there's a version of that for them. They're like, he's talking to you. He's not sending dick pics. And then the devil's on their shoulder going, well, you don't even think he's cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do think there's something to be said for like going out with people who aren't your type.
Sure.
Assuming you could see it pretend, like, you know what I mean? It could be someone you, a lot of people wind up with people that they didn't immediately think was like their type. So I think that devil scenario makes a lot of sense, but it's more for like second date.
Yeah. They've done the date where you see if there's a spark that you wouldn't have seen in the picture. But I think also that's a reason to get off the app is to like adjust your, like, this person is a very personable person based on their email. Like, just the way they wrote their email, you can tell they are someone that kind of that shouldn't have a problem going up to someone in a bar or in public or go out with friends even at a baseline. So like, take a minute. Like, I think when you start convincing yourself into dates 3 and 4 and you're saying it's bleak out there, like, you know, like, you've had it. Like, take a nap, take a break.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon chair to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to come up with that same look at home. Even the best blowout brush won't give you that salon shine. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair that I've always wanted. Now I love the way my hair looks and feels. It's like salon fresh hair that starts at the roots. I have the Grow Hair Serum, and I can already tell that it's working. Like, my hair feels healthier. I love that it doesn't make my hair feel oily or sticky. I feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my hair. I also got to try the Lash Serum and the Brow Serum. Honestly, my hair has been hard to grow, so I love what Vegamore is doing, and I'm already seeing results. I'm already seeing thicker, faster growing hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best-looking results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker-looking hair. When I sign up for monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more, and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Give your hair the power of a little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, UUP listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. They also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable, and yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age, and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's do some awkward sex. I have to say, this might be in our top five awkward sex.
I enjoyed emails. This one a lot.
I don't want to get people too excited, but this, and it's it is absolutely wild.
Really funny.
I
really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed
it. There's so many elements of it. It's almost, whenever there's one that I'm like, did this really happen? I always know it's a good one.
Yeah, I did that same thing, and I'm always living in the land of it really happened, because how could we not? We're reading it on this show.
Right.
You know, like
you got to assume the best in people.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Or the someone's worst, like, I guess.
Yeah. We're doing the thing that people do when they write in us. This is hilarious. Get ready. And we're like, yeah, fucking tell it. You know, like,
we'll be the judge of
that. Yeah,
right.
We'll see. Yeah, now the audience is like, we'll see if it's a good awkward sex. Okay. Hi, J&J. I've become the group dating expert thanks to what I've learned from you two. Well, she's already starting on the bad path. Why don't you tell those people to listen and rate and review and subscribe? You don't have, like, this game of telephone has to end.
That's funny. So, I wonder if my therapist thinks the same thing. He's like, stop using everything I've given you.
Refer me once, asshole. Yeah. Okay. The moment this awkward sex happened, I knew I had to write into the show, and we're happy you did. I live in LA. And I met a guy from my hometown here and have been in a situationship with him for a few months. So one night he comes to my place for what essentially becomes a bender of a night. We have drinks and dinner at my place, go out to a dive bar, and then come back home to talk and have a few more. By the time we decided to head to the bedroom, we were both pretty drunk. We start hooking up and having sex, and I am audibly having a good time. A few minutes into this, I noticed my phone screen was brightly lit up, so I reach over to turn it off and see that there is an active call with my mother that's been going on for 18 minutes.
Oh my God.
It's 2 a.m. at this point, so I pray it was a weird pocket dial and she never picked up. See, to stop the email for 2 seconds, if it's a pocket dial, you're 18 minutes in, you're audibly having a good time during sex, I could live in the land of, like, it's so deep into, like,
I would think it went to voicemail and it's just recording an 18-minute voicemail.
And anyone who sees an 18-minute voicemail, parent or not parent, they're deleting after 2 seconds.
Right. Hopefully.
Okay. So it's 2 a.m. at this point, so I pray it's a weird pocket dial and she never picked up. Wrong. After Wrong. I panic. Turn it to Trump. After I panic.
Sad.
Nope. Wrong. After I panic, hang up the call, I see a flood of notifications from both of my parents. So I shove the guy off of me, thinking someone must have died or something. So I call my mom back. She picks up in hysterics. Now I'm at... I'm just imagining. Oh, I mean, everyone listening to this,
I'm imagining his mom hysterically crying. Like,
I mean, but don't you imagine your own mother at this point? Like, I just imagine my mom. Jared!
I thought I lost you.
Yeah, like a boner hang, like half a boner hanging with the condom sadly hanging on. Now I'm actually worried that something may be wrong. She picks up in hysterics. Now I'm actually worried that something may be wrong. Yeah, maybe it's her. Yeah, it's she hurt you fucking. Yeah, okay. I get her to relax enough to tell me what's going on. She said that she woke up to a phone call from me, and it sounded like I was hurt, a.k.a. my moaning.
Oh, my God.
Like, I guess those sound the same.
Yeah, I could totally see it sounding like pain, like it sounds just, pain.
I'm just imagining like, the mom and dad both listening. Is that sex or is she in trouble?
Is she being kidnapped?
So she and the halfers in her half asleep panic thought I must have gotten in a car accident or someone broke into my house and was killing me, apparently. Very drunk, confused, and embarrassed, I do my best to get her to relax and accept that I am in fact not dying and this was a weird accident. But too late. In the time it took me to call her back, she and my dad had already called my long-term ex-boyfriend who lives in my neighborhood to come check on me. Imagine getting that call as him.
Oh my God.
Hey.
Well, I mean, you're probably a little worried yourself if you're him.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hey, right. Like I would assume I'm in Gone Girl. Like,
right.
You know, like I'm like, am
is
I
it you?
Am I, yeah.
Was it
you? Like, it's like it's this whole thing is just anxiety producing. So, but too late. In the time it took me to call her back, she and my dad had already called my long-term ex-boyfriend who lives in my neighborhood to come check on me. I'm naked on the phone, freaking out, knowing that he will be at my place any minute. Oh, did I mention he has a key since he's the only person I know in LA? So I throw on a robe and run outside. Literally, as he pulls up, visibly and understandably pissed off, I apologize and say, I'm fine, and he peels out immediately. I come back inside. I mean, she's out there in the robe. The neighbors have to be out the window being like, what's going on? He's like, Alyssa, what the hell is going on?
You know, oh, like, my God. He's probably like, I had to come all the way over here. Like,
they're out in the yard and in the driveway. I come back inside. My guy has no idea of the ordeal with the ex. We laugh off the phone call and go to bed. The next morning we wake up and my guy jokes, well, are you happy you survived your car crash? I mean, he has no idea what the fuck happened. I am mortified at the idea that my mother heard me getting fucked and can't bear the idea of calling her later to check in. She said what she heard was muffled, but I'm sure she's being nice to save us both the awkward conversation. Had to share. Hope you enjoyed the chaos that happens when you don't lock your phone properly. Sincerely, phone fucked.
I have to say that's a good lesson. I never lock my phone and it's always doing that kind of shit. So now this will be a good scary tale.
Well, it's a horror story. I mean, the idea that you look over and your phone is face up and it's lit up and your mom's like, oh no, it was muffled. Like, no, it wasn't muffled enough for her to not think you were dying. Like, you know, like.
Right. I mean, I am a little surprised.
Jeffrey!
I am just a little surprised that it took the mom only 18 minutes to decide to call her ex-boyfriend.
I mean,
it seems a little rash to me.
It's like, yeah, try one call, a text.
Could she wait like half an hour?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I guess, well, you don't want to be
the next like morning.
Ma'am, why did you wait a half hour to call the police? Well, I thought my daughter was getting fucked. Apparently, she was getting murdered. You know, like, I don't know. What I do understand the other side of that, where you're like, what will people think if I waited? You know, like,
I guess.
Like,
I mean,
what
I
would
know,
I think of myself if I waited?
Even like an hour later, like, so, because like, you could be like in a car sitting on your phone. Like, I don't.
The boy, the ex-boyfriend, I guess I would rather call the police, like, over the ex.
Well, I guess she felt that was too much.
So I'll get
maybe she
I'll
wanted
get
to
the
call the ex to see if like he knew where she was. And then
we never liked that boy. He's probably the one that kidnapped her. You know, like, I don't know. Like,
very funny though.
What an email. I mean, yeah. Like I just imagine. I keep the whole time reading. I kept thinking of both parents with one ear over the phone, listening to her fucking. And it's
what
like,
was that? What was that?
did she say? Did she say, guess, you're so hard? What does that mean?
I guess the fact that it's 2 a.m. makes it a lot more alarming than if it were like
of course.
3 p.m.
Oh,
or something.
God.
Right.
This yeah. woman might not have nighttime sex ever again.
Oh, my God. I'm just imagining the mom just like hysterically crying, trying to not even being able to make out her concern to the daughter. Just being like.
And the daughter can't really explain it. She can't be like, Mom, I was getting fucked, okay? Right. It was
no,
good sex.
No, I don't have a boyfriend. Yeah. It's just a casual thing. That's what
situationship.
Like, oh, you have a new boyfriend? That would be my mom would saying, like, so tell me about what does he do?
Yeah, right. What's a situationship? What does that mean? You know, them questioning you.
Where's the ring? Yeah.
Is he Jewish? Not the time. He's circumcised. I don't know. That's all I know.
This reminds me, it's like some fucked up comedy version of Taken.
I mean, this is the comedy version of Taken. Yeah, this is, yeah. I mean,
do don't you know have who you are, but just, I don't know what you want.
I have a particular set of skills. I hear like an old Jewish woman. I've got a particular set of skills. I'm annoying. I yell at waiters.
And I cry.
I hate, and I get cold all the time. I will find you. Like,
I will find you and I will call your mother.
I'm good at Mahjong. What do you call this one, Jordana? Well, let me give Maddie's names first.
I liked her names. Those were,
phone sex, false alarm, fuck, ex emergency. I like those. What do you got, Jordana?
I like the false alarm fuck. I didn't have anyone that was better than those. There were so many moving parts here.
There were so many. I had the moaning to mom, butt dial bonanza.
I like that.
And five alarm fuck.
Five alarm fuck sounds like spicy.
Yeah.
But I like it.
So listen, if you have names, send them in, UUP@betches.com.
That was such a good one.
Red flag or deal breaker. I mean, like the guy.
Is this
nobody
a guy and is
if either side, I guess you could look at it from either way. Like if you're
I'm
in the
her?
Position of if you're her, is it a red flag or deal breaker that he didn't really have much? I mean, what's he? He did
what's
nothing
he gonna
wrong.
Do? Yeah, I think it's I'm cool with it if I'm her. From
me too.
If I'm him, and I would just be it would be a red flag for me knowing that her parents were like very on her shit.
Okay. I see. I think like who wouldn't be on their shit at 2 a.m. You hear your daughter.
Yeah, I guess it's nice in some ways.
Yeah.
That like the mom would try to help you if you thought you were being killed. I guess
now,
that's nice.
And also they're less like if they had shown up instead of the ex, then they would be more on her shit than like.
That's true. Well,
you know
they don't
I mean?
Live in L.A.,
okay, I don't know.
That's
I don't
why
know.
They called the. I bet
I
you
gotcha.
If they did live in L.A.,
they'd
they
be
probably
there.
Would be there, right?
What if it? Okay, let's change this up a bit. You're having sex with a guy. He's moaning, and his parents hear him moaning.
Okay.
Are you turned off more by the moan, or now that his parents know about the moan, like?
And they send over his ex-girlfriend?
And they send over his ex.
I'm saying if they sent over his ex-girlfriend, I would be a little bit like, all right, these parents are like a lot. Like,
yeah. And they keep up a relationship with the ex. What? How? Yeah. Oh, they must be close.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker. I would be like, I think it's nice of the ex to come.
Yeah,
it is
nice of the ex to come. I agree. It seems like they have like a fine-ish relationship that.
If I were the ex, though, I would be and my ex-boyfriend's mom called me to like go check on him at 2 a.m. because like she's worried about him. And then I go there and he's just like been fucking some girl and he comes out. He's like, oh, I'm good. I would be so angry.
Really?
I'd be so pissed at this whole family. I'd be like, get your shit together, family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would need the story. I would need to hear the next day that I wasn't just like some pawn in their weird, you know, game to fuck with me. Yeah.
Right. I need better get sent like a fruit basket or something.
Yeah, that good deed. Send up some fruit. Listen, you can send in your awkward sex to UUP@betches.com. If you got a better one, I mean, that's in our top five.
Yeah, sure. You
got
to top this one.
Top that
one.
We'll
see if it can be topped. That one, the shit in the bag one was really good.
The picking the nose.
The picking the nose. The guy with the, he used to cut off the girl's hair.
Yeah.
Bit.
That was the same one as the furniture, right?
Well, yeah, where someone moved the furniture.
Yeah.
That one's definitely true because I remember getting an email that someone else had dated that guy.
I remember this. I wish we'd like some, you know, if someone's out there, like if someone's a cartoonist of any kind that could draw out one of these
graphic
scenarios,
novel.
Like a graphic, that would really be a fun thing. But let's do another email.
Okay. How to set boundaries when your boyfriend lives with his parents. Jared, this should be a good one for you to answer. You don't live with your parents anymore. There was a hot minute. Anyway, hi, J&J. I love the podcast. Shared it with all my friends. I've been dating the same guy for 3 years, 1 year officially. We're both 23. I live alone and he lives with his parents. We have weekly family dinners with each of our families, Sunday night with his parents and Tuesday night with mine. Recently, he started to ask to hang out at his house more. I wouldn't have a problem with this if he had his own place. I'm starting to become annoyed with how much control his parents have in our relationship. I often hear things like, I have to cancel our dinner because my mom is upset that I wasn't going to be home for dinner. At 23 years old, isn't it strange that his mom won't let him decide where he's eating dinner? His parents also try to tell me how I can be better in this relationship, as if they actually know what happens between me and their son. I've tried to tell him that his parents' involvement in our relationship makes me uncomfortable, but he gets upset when it comes up. How do I nicely tell my boyfriend that I would rather limit my time at his house to our family dinner on Sundays? Sincerely, girlfriend without a clue.
To me, this one's pretty simple. Like, I don't think your boyfriend is grown up yet. Like,
yeah.
I think you two are totally different. You know, I think it's nice that they go to each other's houses for dinner with the family. Like, that's nice. But there is a level between living at home and on your own that this guy needs to get to before he can even think of you two as a serious relation. Like, does that make sense? Like, it doesn't like,
no, totally. Yeah. This guy is like, basically you're living with like a high school student.
Yeah.
Like, they live with I'm not surprised that his parents try to tell her how she can be better in his relationship. And she goes, as if they actually know what happens. They live with him. Of course they know what happens. He tells them everything.
And also, if you're not financially independent, you're not independent. You're just, that's just the reality. And he is not financially independent yet. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone takes time to get off on their own. But like, you know, his parents do have a say in his life. You know, the idea of like whether like she references I cancel our dinner because my mom is upset that I wasn't going to be home for dinner. That sounds like ridiculous. Like it's easy to be like, isn't that strange? And it's like, not when they
not
pay
when
for the dinner
like,
and
I've
they
been
pay.
Cooking, right. Yeah. I'm cooking tonight. We have dinner.
This is how it goes. So you know, it's like you're ready for something. And this is to make this bigger. Like, this is a very specific situation, but like, you guys are ready for two phases of life that are totally different. And you keep getting let down by his phase of life. But until he's willing to go to the next phase, then you're always going to be let down. You're ready for different things.
Totally. I think it's totally okay to still live with your parents at 23, but it's also okay to be turned off by that. And you can just admit that. You can say, like, I'm not saying this is bad or good. I'm just saying this is not for me where I am right now.
Yeah, and I think, like, putting it on the parents' stuff, like, you're like, you need to solve boundaries with their parents. Well, that's, like, a symptom, not the cause. Like, the cause is he lives with his parents and he does have to abide by their rules. Whether he's 23 or 43, like, there's a little bit of respect you have to give to the people doing you a favor. Even though it's parents, they are doing him a favor.
Right. I would say if you want to date someone who you feel like is very independent and makes their own decisions around you, you should start by looking for someone who doesn't live with their parents.
Yeah. You want independent decisions, date independent people. Yeah. I think that's true as well. Yeah. And again, this isn't to shame someone living at home at 23. Like, fuck yeah, do it. But, you know, again, we're going to get into this on Sunday special. We have a great episode with Dr. J. And of what's the name of the book, Jordana?
The Defining Decade.
The Defining Decade is about, you know, being in your 20s. And we kind of talk about this a little bit as far as, like, you know, with the email we referenced there is like, you know, you're 23 and it's like you can find someone at 23, but don't stay in it just because it's something, you know,
right. Like, you can find someone who's in the same phase of life as you and wants the same things. And to me, this doesn't sound like someone who's ready to be in that phase with you just yet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's play some games, Jordana. You ready?
I'm ready.
UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. Make sure, rate, review, subscribe, and make it your Instagram story. Ooh, that feels good. Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? This guy I was hooking up with has a hashtag with his name on Instagram handle. On his Instagram. Okay, let me read this again. This guy I was hooking up with has a hashtag with his name on his Instagram handle. At first, it was not important for me, but yesterday it was his birthday, and he printed a T-shirt that said "Legend" misspelled and the same hashtag. For reference, we're both 24, and we live in Mexico. red flag or deal breaker. I don't know why Mexico matters, but
international listeners.
That's right. We are worldwide. What do you think of the hashtag for your own name?
I mean, she said it was his birthday. Okay, it was his birthday. If someone else printed the shirts and like did it as a joke, maybe it's like kind of an inside funny joke. I don't know. They're 24. So maybe that's like sort of a running joke amongst his friends and someone printed these for his birthday. I'm okay with it in that sense. If this is like him legitimately thinking his name is a hashtag, then it's a different story.
To me, I think it's a joke. I mean, I'm reading the shirt and here's what a lot of people that write in, she's not being fair to him. She's like, and he's misspelled legend. That's not what he did on purpose. That's insane for her to say. The shirt says the man, the myth, the legend, like with a legend, but with a Y. So obvious, and then it has hashtag his name. Obviously, this is some sort of inside joke. This
right.
is his personality showing through. So to say like, and he can't even spell legend on a t-shirt, like that's not what happened. So stop it. but it's a red flag deal breaker question. That's good because this is a type of personality. If you saw someone with their own name hashtagged, that is very much a personality trait, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, it's this like guy's going to be the party. He's going to be the life of the room.
A little wacky.
Yeah. He's a wacky dude, yeah. And do you want to be with, you know, Senor Wacky?
Yeah, and I mean, he's 24. I don't find that, like, shocking. But, like, it depends what you're, like, kind of like the one we just did. The email we just did, it's like, what phase are you in? Are you looking to date this kind of guy? Sounds like no, because you seem a little judgmental about his shirt. So seems like it's a deal breaker for you.
Yeah, this guy's going to walk into a party with a big horn, Bozo the Clown, wah, wah, you know, like, hey, I'm the legend. And it's like, yeah, he's fun for some, but not for you. But what would it be for you? Red flag or deal breaker? Where are you into the legend?
I think if it's like his if it's like a random Tuesday, no. If it's like his birthday and someone made him the shirt, I think it's like kind of cute and funny.
Yeah, I think so too. It's also some self-awareness at the idea of like, yeah, I have my hashtag name in my profile. It's a little stupid and fun and whatever.
Yeah, making fun of myself.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Let's do another.
All right. Hi, J&J. Love the pod. I'm consistently impressed with your advice. Red, black, or deal breaker? He's neighbors with a former friend with benefits. Here's some context. I'm a late 30s guy in NYC. A while back, I dated a woman for about 3 months. And after we broke up, we maintained an on and off friends with benefits situations for a few years. We ended the benefits part about 6 months ago and have been just friends since then. I recently helped her secure the apartment immediately next to mine. Interesting choice. Her lease was ending and she needed a place, so she now lives 10 feet down the hall from me. I also adopted a dog in February and she basically co-parents the dog with me, helping with walks, buying with chew toys, etc. I broke up with someone last summer and I haven't dated at all since then, but now that most people are vaccinated and New York City is opening up, I'll probably start dating again this summer. Do you think it will be a deal breaker if I mention on dates that my neighbor was a casual hookup for years and I'm still friends with her and she plays a major role in my dog's life? Do you think I should bring this up early or just wait until it comes up organically? I hope this email gives you a laugh and that you have some good advice. Thanks, awkward neighbor sitch. That's like someone being like, do you think she'll be upset that I have two wives? Is that weird? How should I bring that up? Organically? Yeah.
Do they also, it's just so in depth for a first date. Like at what point in the day you're like, well, I live next door to the woman I used to hook up with and she co-parents my dog and I used to go down on her 3 times a week and I would lick her left nipple that always used to get her off. It's like, dude, you can have some, yeah, you can have some, you know, a little bit of like, you know, like consideration, discretion. Yeah. That's the best word. What do you think?
Would it be a deal breaker if someone mentioned on a date that their neighbor was a casual hookup for years that they're still friends with and they play a major role in their dog's life? I think so, yeah. For me, personally.
I think this guy needs to... So you're out.
I'm out, yeah.
I think it's all in how you sell it, to be honest. This guy just doesn't seem like a good salesman at this point. What I would say to them is your first thing needs to be owning your own dog. you didn't buy a dog with them. Like to say, yeah. When you start saying we're basically
pay someone to take care of the dog.
Yeah, let's move into the next part of life. Like when you say we're basically co-parents, that might be something you'd be saying to them, so they could misinterpret that as like a flirt too. You know,
right. Well, my first question to this guy, if I were on a date with him, would be like, well, why aren't you guys dating?
Yeah.
He would have to have a very good answer for that.
That's a good point.
That would totally make sense. Do you know what I mean? For like totally. That context.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't even know like what the answer would be that would make it like not weird.
Well, I guess like, I don't know how this even comes up on a first date. You know, like
it definitely wouldn't have to come out up on a first date unless you wanted it to.
That's right. So it's like, hey, I have a dog and, you know, my neighbor's a big part of the dog's life. Like, even if the neighbor is a part of the dog's life, I wouldn't mention that. I'd be like, I have a dog.
Right.
It wouldn't be.
Even if it was a random neighbor.
Yeah. So like, I think like, to me, the way this email is written is like, has that been turned off? Has that friends with Bennett? Like when you. The biggest thing to me would be like, yeah, we ended the benefits part 6 months ago. Okay, was there a discussion? Did you guys decide you weren't right for each other? Is it weird now? Are you guys, you know, or did it just fizzle? Like the
what
fizzled
happened? Right.
The fizzled friends with benefits to me is still a friends with benefits.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a friends with benefits means that like. You could at any point continue having casual sex with them.
I mean, it should really be called friends with benefits should really be called person I fuck comfortably.
Right.
You know, because it's not a friend. You're not really friend.
Someone
I mean, this person.
Yeah.
It's just someone you hook up with without emotion. So I think you'd have to explain the emotional part of it. But if someone said this to me, I would back away from it and I wouldn't take them as seriously, I guess, is my
right.
Point.
Well, it was a little like that Tinks episode where she's like, well, I used to date my best friend and then like it didn't work out, but now we're still best friends. Someone would be like, if you started dating someone new, you would have to like make that person not your best friend.
Totally. And, you know, explain it over a TikTok session. You know, so, so I don't know. It's I guess I'm out on this one, too.
Yeah.
Let's do one more.
Okay. They have over 250 unread text messages.
This is one of those things that doesn't bother me. Like,
are you like an unread text messages guy?
I'm not an unread text messages guy. I'm pretty good at getting back to people over text. I'm worse if I don't have their name saved. I kind of like let it go down the screen a little bit by accident. But I am a person with a huge number next to my emails.
Oh, interesting.
And it's not because I want the big number there. It's because I don't know how to get rid of it. And I'm sure I'll get many. It's like, but I do read them. I think it's like, for some reason, like all my emails of all time have ended up on my phone somehow.
Oh, okay.
And so it's this weird glitch that I have a number there that means nothing to me, but now I know the number for when I have new emails versus when I don't have new. It's very confusing, but I have people that are like, whoa, they see the number and they're like, ah, and you're like, yeah, this is not because I don't read emails, you know?
Right. I think unread text, if they're answering all of my text messages,
sure.
I don't know that I care that much.
How do you even have 250 though? That is kind of crazy. I guess
I
you would be on a group chat.
I assume it's like a group chat. Yeah. Mm.
And you're just okay. I wouldn't be turned off of it, but I'd be like, this is someone who is much different than me. Like having that dot up with text messages, I would be like, I gotta like close the loop, so to speak.
Yeah. No, yeah, it would bother me. I'm like a inbox zero, text messages zero person. I can't. That's why I don't follow that many people on Instagram, because I have to look at every story. I compulsively look at every single story that anyone that I follow puts up. So I just try not to follow people.
I mean, I have that with DMs. If I have that red thing in the corner, I can't take my eyes off it. Like, I can't let it, like, even if I would, like, I'll get back to it later, I can't. Like,
well, that's tough because those they can see when you've.
I know. It gets really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I just don't have that thing with the email just because it's always been that way.
So if you met someone, they're great, but 250 unread text messages.
Not a big deal to me, but I would get, again, what you said is totally true. Like, if they're getting back to me, like, what do I care?
Yeah, I agree. Listen, okay.
We solved dating again, Jordana.
We did it.
We did it. Just in 1 hour, we solved everything. So
everything you could ever possibly want to know about interacting with anyone.
That's right. So make sure you share this with a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. And make it your Instagram story. But we'll be back on Sunday with a Sunday special with Dr. J.
We will. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part one of Bridgerton, only on Netflix, May 16th.
Betches.